Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. You shouldn't settle for just any old pair of leggings. You deserve something better, something designed with you in mind, like the new Inspire leggings by Kalia, their most versatile collection yet, made for any workout. They're lightweight, buttery soft, breathable, and made with Lycra adaptive fiber, which molds to your body for a barely there supportive fit. It's perfect for wherever your wellness routine takes you. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hello, you're listening to Parents in Hell with...
Bradley, say Rob.
Rob.
Say Beckett. Say Josh.
Josh.
Say Widdicombe.
Widdicombe.
Good boy.
Right, I know where that is.
Yeah.
It's not East London, it's not Essex, it's either Hertfordshire or Kent. I'm going to go Kent.
It is Kent.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I guess square Kent?
Yep.
I think it's sort of like Chatterley Maidstone way.
It's neither of those, but I don't know whether it might be that way because I don't know where this place
is. Tell me now.
Sevenoaks.
Oh, yeah, it's not far. It's so near me. It was the boy that gave it away.
Hi, Rob and Josh. That was the sound of our 2-year-old son, Bradley, during bath time and our 8-month-old, Joey. Bradley will only ever punch a nearby object whenever I say the word Beckett, which is that bang you heard. Make of that what you will. Thank you for providing some much-needed laughs during what feels like a never-ending night feeds and pram naps. The joys of having two under two. Keep being sexy and relatable. Kyle and Sally, Sevenoaks in Kent.
40 minutes away from Chatham. Maidstone from Sevenoaks is 30 minutes away, so I absolutely nailed that. I said Chatham Maidstone away, got it right fucking dead centre, Josh.
Yeah,
because you know what annoyed me? Someone did on Instagram, they did like a parent in hell bingo, well, things that we'd say. Do you want me to read them out to you and you can see if people agree with these?
Yeah, is this going to put me in my place? Is this going to make me really worry that I'm just a repetitive loser?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So this is, I made a parent in hell bingo because I don't have kids and therefore I have a ridiculous amount of spare time. This is all dot books dot and dot some dot t, right? This is a bingo. This is where you have to like play bingo or you could do it as a drinking game, have a shot. They moan about traffic.
Yeah.
Josh says, I'll tell you that for free.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you that.
Rob says in response to a joke, lovely stuff.
Yeah, I'd say that as well, I suppose, yeah.
Something goes wrong. That happens
a
lot,
doesn't it? Yeah, fair.
Josh exaggerates how bad something was / went. Josh says, I'll tell you that for free a second time.
Unbelievable.
They go off on a very long tangent.
Yeah, fair.
Don't talk about kids for at least 50% of the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, fair.
Rob's laugh makes me laugh.
Oh, nice.
Josh says, I'll tell you that for free.
Oh, fuck off.
And I'll tell you that for free. Rob tries to guess where somebody's from and gets it wrong. Fuck you, fair. Nailed it. Say something negative about their own podcast.
Yeah, fair.
That's pretty fair, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
Can I say thank you for getting headphones?
Oh, nice, isn't it?
Hasn't it been seamless?
It has been seamless.
And they're not
the best
big
£8
ones
I've ever spent.
Not, yeah, exactly. Not big ones.
And tax deductible.
Make your head sweat.
No, exactly. Have you got anything to say before today's guest? We've got seven minutes left till they come on.
Just don't say it like that, because it makes people think that you don't care about the podcast, Josh. Yes, I do.
No, I do care about the podcast.
But this is presented as like a free-flowing chat.
I care about the
countdown,
podcast.
Churning out whatever you're contractually obliged to do.
If I had to say the bit I care least about on the podcast, it'd be the 10 minutes before the guest on the Friday.
I like it. I like it because we never know what it's going to be. I think there's a freedom to it. There's an excitement to it, Josh.
It's like jazz.
It's like jazz. Do you want some child jazz?
That does sound a bit weird, but
Well, so this will make you laugh. My daughter, my 5-year-old, called me. She went, "Hurry up, Mr. Travel."
Mr. Travel?
I went, What am I? She went, "You're Mr. Travel." I went, "Why?" She went, "Because you're always travelling somewhere."
That's good. Yeah.
It felt a bit barbed.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, normally dropping you to fucking school. Didn't say that.
Too bloody right.
So she's been calling me Mr. Travel. And then the older one, who's like 7 now, is getting really grown up. So she was invited to my five-year-old had a birthday party of a girl from school. All 5-year-olds there, but my 7-year-old was invited because the kid whose birthday it was has got an older sibling who's 8 or something like that. So they went there, and then the 5-year-old's planning the party, and the 7-year-old's allowed to plan the party, but they found the 7-year-old in the cafe section of this big sports, like this hall place, having some Maltesers and a drink, sat chatting with the 8-year-old. Yeah. And he's like, "You're right, girls, you want to join the party?" She went, "No, it's a bit busy in there. We're having a bit of peace and quiet." And they just sat there like two sort of mums on a coffee morning. And the other thing as well, she's got an Elsa swimming bag. And she said, "This is a 7-year-old. She went, "Mummy, can I not have the Elsa bag anymore?" I was like, "Yeah, but it's the bag still work." Like, why? Because the bag is not broke or anything. She went, "Yeah, but I don't like Elsa. No one really likes Elsa anymore at school. She just wants a plain one." And I was like, "Oh, okay, but do you like Elsa?" "Yeah, I quite like Elsa, but no one really likes Elsa anymore." And I was like, "Oh God, here it starts."
Oh, God,
and
here
then
we
Lee
go.
Was like, "Well, when we go to Disney, do you still want to go to see the princesses and, you know, and Elsa and all the Frozen?" She went, yeah, but it's different at Disney, isn't it? Because it would just be us.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, no.
It's horrible.
Suppressing who she is already, Rob.
I know. And then so I was like, "Okay, don't worry, we'll give you a plain bag." So we've got a big, like, cupboard full of bags, you know, like carry bags or reusable bags or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I just saw a black one. There was like a black material one. Grab that.
A tote.
Because she needed to take, she's in this musical at the school, like in year production.
Right, yeah.
She's playing a bee, Queen Bee. So she has to do a haughty face.
Right.
And she has to all look like pissed off. Anyway, she had to have a crown and a mirror for it. So we got that and she had to take that into school. She wouldn't use her Elsa bag. She doesn't like that bag. Grabbed this black bag, put her stuff in it, just about to leave the house. I see the other side of it. It's a BAFTA bag. When I hosted the BAFTAs, they gave me a bottle of champagne to say thank you and a card in a bag that's got the British Academy and Film Television Awards logo on.
Amazing.
So now my daughter's carrying her props.
Oh my God.
For a debut in a year two musical with a BAFTA bag. And I went, "Can I have that bag back?" She went, "What?" She doesn't know what that means, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
I went, no, it's the wrong one. I need that bag. Because I've never been so close to an anecdote that will ruin my life. Like, by pure accident as well. Fair enough, if you on purpose get that bag and give it to your kid, it's like, what are you doing? That's weird. It would have been a complete accident, but it would have been, if you heard about that, what Beckett's doing, fucking wanker. Sending his kid to school with a BAFTA bag, fucking prick. As soon as I saw, I was so happy that I clocked
it.
Or it'd been
incredible.
Horrific.
Superb.
That was awful. Other things that have happened. We've just found out that my 5-year-old's trainer, you know, I've not had this on my shoes for years.
Oh, a trainer. Sorry, I thought you meant a trainer.
Sneaker. No, but she hasn't got a trainer, but like a running shoes trainer, the one she wears for PE. And because they go in their PE kit like 2 or 3 days a week, they're wearing them a lot. The sole, you can peel it back all the way. You know when it looks like a mouth at the bottom of the shoe?
Yeah.
But we didn't realise how bad it was. She didn't tell us. So we can literally peel all of it off. So she's been slapping along like that with this
No wonder she dropped a second this year.
Yes, exactly. I'll get some running spikes for next year.
It's going to be like high altitude training, that, isn't it? Because when she gets back into the like proper shoes.
With a pair of Skechers, she's got no chance.
Exactly.
So we discovered that, so we felt bad. So she's been wearing her older sister's trainers for the last few weeks.
She can't buy.
She's got big feet. She's got the same size feet as her sister. That's maybe why she's quick. But yeah, so she's been wearing her sister's, because you can't buy new trainers now. It's madness.
You can't just wear any trainer to school.
No, you have to be like white ones. You know,
Okay.
I don't know why. God forbid anyone has a personality at school. What is the point in uniform? Jesus Christ. I just think it was so archaic, isn't it?
But it does make it easy, Rob.
Does it?
Oh, every morning. Because my daughter...
But you'd probably end up getting your own uniform. Like Einstein, we just wore like a white shirt and blue suit.
Yeah. Steve Jobs.
But they just do their own, everyone does their own uniform and they just put a massive markup on it so they can stick a fucking badge on it. That's basically what it is.
I know, I think I might own one of those shops that just sells the uniform. It's an absolute...
You don't have to work 1 week a year, innit? Last week of August. Fucking hammer it out. Everyone's queuing. That's the dream. I see those people queuing the last week of August and it's like, that looks stressful.
Do you not do it online?
You can do it online, but also you want to go in for sizes. That's the difference because they grow so quick. But also as well, and like, you know, we're in a very privileged position and we weren't as such growing up, but there'll be people that can't afford to buy the uniform until payday. So if payday's end of August on the 31st and your kid starts on the 3rd, you can't go there 2 weeks earlier because you haven't got your money in. Do you know what I mean?
We've got a good thing at the school where it's like...
The second-hand
uniform. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So this is funny. Lou's been getting up really early. Don't know why, but she's getting up early. And anyway, it was about 6 a.m. and I sort of rolled over to sort of give Lou a hug, right? And I was like, and I was so not with it and a bit tired and groggy. Basically, Lou was in the shower and it was my 5-year-old. And I panicked and thought Lou had shrunk. Obviously, just my kid. But I was like, why is she so small? Why is Lou tiny?
Oh,
it made me laugh.
That is funny. So did you continue with that? Like,
no, I just put my, I went over and left the armor and I was like, because she's so much smaller, my hand sort of touched the bed and then I could feel something under my like elbow bit. And I was like, I patted down and she went and then she was like, all right, dad. And I was like, oh, it's you. But for a second I was like, she shrunk.
That's a bit of, it's like big. It's like the scene in Big.
Exactly that. But it just made me laugh. But I've been enjoying doing the rehearsals for Queen Bee.
Have you been playing the other parts?
Yes, but there's not. It's more the way they do it. And it's really clever, actually, the way they write these musicals for the kids is that it's not a lot relying on other people.
Yeah.
It's sort of like if she's got a couple of lines that start from the Queen enters, she sort of does her lines.
Then
it will be like into a song.
Yeah.
And then out, and there's, so there's not loads
of. So you're not waiting for the queue of six kids in a row.
Exactly. And also if it's longer lines, you're not waiting for like someone, if they finish on a different line to confuse the other kids and stuff like that. But
daughter's doing Hamlet and it's tough, man.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. Of course not.
Well, my daughter's in a musical about bumblebees. And one of the stage directors, it says, the Queen enters with a haughty facial expression.
Yeah, I don't even know really what haughty is. No.
What's haughty?
And then, like kind of
dismissively
pompous?
Arrogant. Yeah. So I Googled it. But the teacher told her, she went, just haughty. She went, just basically act like everyone in this room smells.
Oh, that's good.
Works. So she's been doing that face, which is good. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But that's sort of what we're up to.
Oh, Rob, your microphone. But the good news is, Rob.
Yeah.
We've outstayed our welcome.
Tell you what, I should get your fee for that.
What do you mean?
I just spoke at you for 7 minutes. Look at that. You just coasted through.
Coasted through. But just you wait, Rob.
One
day. Come the bit after the guest. I'm really going to bring it.
You're going to absolutely fire. But also some days, you know, one episode, we just listened to Michael have a breakdown about bringing his niece home.
I'd say it was a classic.
That was an absolute classic. So we all, it's a team effort. We all look after each other at different points, don't we, Josh? Anyway, here's Sonia Jackson. Here's Natalie Cassidy, who we absolutely
love. Absolute legend.
She's brilliant.
I love this one. See if you can see if I'm nervous.
Natalie Cassidy, welcome to Parenting Hell. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, do you know what? I'm honoured, boy. It's really, really lovely to see you both.
Well, I got a bit starstruck, actually, while I was listening to Chatterbix. You know, you did with David Earl and Joe Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And they were talking, and you started talking about this podcast and about how much you like it, and you wanted to come on. I was like, Natalie Cassidy.
I didn't know about this.
We didn't know about this.
They were a bit upset because they always want to get in the top 10. They can't get there. So I don't think they were happy with it, but there you go.
First things first. Could you know when Sonia was she playing the saxophone?
The trumpet, Josh.
Trumpet?
Oh, fuck's sake, Josh. Do your research.
Do doing us a favour.
No, no, Josh, surely the first question should be, how many kids you got, what age? No, let's not go on to Trumpet and Sonia immediately.
What's Wellard like? What's Wellard like?
This is not okay.
I know, but what was he like?
He was lovely. It was a girl, actually, and the doctor's name was Zena, and she was a delight.
There we go. Right, how many kids you got?
Two. I've got two girls.
Josh, if you want to do Wellard chat, let's save it when we get Dean Gaffney on.
Okay, right, exactly.
If you want to do Trumpet, fair enough. Martin Fowler, Sonia, we'll get onto that later, but come and save your Wellard stuff for Gaffney. Do you still speak to Gaffney, Natalie?
All the time. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I love Gaffney. He's always in Ibiza.
Always. He's always flying around the world. I don't know how he does it. He's got friends in high places and he just makes me die. He makes me laugh.
He's a funny bloke. We've got to get Gaffers on.
Well, listen, I'm not sitting here talking about Dean, if you don't mind. Get on.
Let's talk about your kids. How old are your kids, Natalie?
So Joni is 6. She'll be 7 August the 16th. And Eliza is 12. Yep. Going on 102.
Yeah, I've been speaking to a lot of people that have got kids that are like sort of pre-teenage, 10 to 12, and it feels intense.
It's the phrase tweenage when they're like teenagers early. Is that
it is,
the phrase?
But I'm not having any of it. Eliza is already a teenager.
Is she?
Right,
it's
okay.
It's crazy stuff. I promise you, once...
She started playing the trumpet.
She's not playing the trumpet. Please, Josh.
He's actually been a bit of a prick, hasn't he? I think. Oh,
come on now.
I think he's been a bit of a prick.
I'm so excited this is finally happening.
When your kids are in year 6, right, primary school, and they're going on their leavers tour, and you think, aren't they grown up? Mm. Right? They have the summer holiday and they go into year 7.
Yeah.
They're like different human. They just get out of bed one day after a week of being at secondary school.
Oh, God.
And they're completely different human beings.
Really?
It's incredible. God. Because of the responsibility they have, she's got her laptop, she's emailing teachers. Oh, it's crazy. And my daughter didn't have a phone until about 2-3 months ago. Mm-hmm. So she went into year 7 without a phone and she did a couple of terms without it. That was quite hard because every single person had one apart from her. But now she's got her phone and it's crazy stuff.
Oh, God. Mate. What are your... Have you got to have phone rules?
Massive ones. She's got no social media. She's got Be Real, which is the one where you just take one photo a day. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But she's not allowed Snapchat. She's not allowed Instagram. She's not allowed any of that. She has WhatsApp to talk to her friends. And the phone remains downstairs on charge when she goes to bed and stuff. She's good with it.
Yeah.
But she's waited so long, she's like, anything will do.
Oh, God. I'm so scared about it all.
Don't give in. That's
just
all I'm saying to you. I don't care about anyone says. At 10, there were kids in... I'm not being funny, at the primary school. My 6-year-old, there's a couple of kids with phones. There's 7.
6?
7, yeah.
7.
Bloody hell.
And I just was like, I'm not following any... I don't care what anyone says, you can hate me. You are not having a phone until I feel that it's needed.
Yeah, do you know what? Because our friends of ours, their daughter's 8, and they've got like an iPod Touch thing, which the girls have, and it means they can message the mum and dad and take photos and stuff like that. But you can still get all the apps on it. So in a way, like actually ringing someone's the least bad bit of a phone.
Absolutely.
Like an iPad's actually worse in a way, if they can have access to the...
We were talking about messages. I've just got a message off my wife. This is a live bit of parenting and marriage.
Go on.
If the doorbell, she's out. If the doorbell goes, answer it as it could be your socks. Isn't that a low moment? So I'm going to have to leave the interview if the doorbell goes. I do apologise, Natalie.
For
carry
your
on.
Socks?
No problem. What socks are they?
I've ordered some sports socks.
Do you have to have weird ones because of your feet?
I haven't got weird
specialist
feet.
Ones.
I haven't got weird feet, Rob.
You know, people have specialist things for different parts of their body.
Why would I have specialist?
Because of the
weird
hair
feet.
And the size.
They're normal hair.
Sorry about this, Nancy. They're not normal, Josh. They're like sort of big hobbit ones.
I've got really bad feet as well. So
have you? What do you? No, not as well. I haven't got bad feet.
You've both got disgusting feet. That's correct.
So it's fine.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You sound like, to me, you don't take any shit.
No, not at all.
And is that always been the case, or did that come at the age of, fuck, right, this is now phones, this is now serious, or were you like, no chocolate?
No, I've always been, no, it's everything in moderation, isn't it? I've had children round before.
Yeah.
And if they haven't got a sweet drawer or a crisp drawer, they come in here and they're like animals.
Yeah.
They just want to eat everything because they have never got it. Whereas mine, they take it or leave it. We've got the drawer. They're not in there all the time. I think everything in moderation is good. My little Joni she's quite feral. She's sort of always got her hair in her face. And she's, you know, when it's really hot, you're like, darling, come on, let's get sun cream out of your head. She don't care. She just wanders about. And she's quite a free spirit. Eliza's completely opposite. She was the one who, had to cut all the labels out. She hated seams in the socks. She's always been very particular. So they're completely different children. But Eliza now, I feel, as they get older, you have to pick your battles. You can't get annoyed over things that perhaps you would do with the younger ones because you've got bigger fish to fry.
It's harder because you, like, when they're in school, if you go, no, we're not doing that, they literally come back at you and go, it's almost like interviewing a politician where they go, well, so-and-so's doing it and so-and-so's doing it. And you're absolutely like, well, and then, you know.
But with that, I just say, I don't care. I'm not interested in what other people are doing. Why are you talking to me about that?
That's a good way of doing it because I want to go, well, I tell you what, their mum and dad are a fucking pair of pricks. And they're going to, and their kid's going to turn out like them. Okay.
Well, I have to say it has been said, Rob. You're not wrong.
Well, the little known fact about your friend, I hate their parents and I've put up with them for 13 years at this school and I don't need to be told about what they do because you know what? I fundamentally disagree with everything they do. Or you could just go, I don't care. It's probably a better way to...
Do you think Carol Jackson was a good mum?
She was a great mum on screen. A great mum, Josh.
Yeah.
She wasn't my real mum. You do know that,
don't
you?
No, I'm really aware of that.
Josh is treating this interview like he's sort of confused about between fiction and reality and just totally overwhelmed.
I'm extremely shocked that Josh has even seen it. Do you know what
EastEnders?
I mean?
Yeah, he's not that kind of guy, is he?
I loved it in the 90s. Fucking hell. Yeah, the bit where, I think it was slightly before your time, but the bit where... Grant Mitchell finds out that Phil's been sleeping with Sharon.
Oh, well, the voice recorder.
Yes. Injected into my veins. It's so good, that episode.
I would say EastEnders, when it was in its peak around that time, was so much better.
Still good,
Rob.
It's still in its peak.
It's still good. But at that point, that was when it was. You were in it when you were younger, and the pregnancy stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's still great.
Now, but I feel like
it went beyond soap. It just felt like something that everyone was watching and everyone spoke about.
I'll tell you something. Obviously, in October, I've been there for 30 years, right?
Wow,
since I was 10.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I had a break and stuff, but I've been affiliated with it for that long.
Yeah.
And all those times, like you say, was sort of the golden ages. And we've had peaks and troughs, as every show does. Mm. But I have to say, like, we've just won the Soap Award.
Congratulations.
The cast, the morale, like, everyone at work, it's an amazing... At the moment, I feel like all the stories are really good.
It's building up.
It's becoming golden again. It's really, really good. It's a lovely place to be.
Being in EastEnders as a child and how, like, whether you'd, how you'd feel about your children acting. Because you were 7, right? When you first appeared in EastEnders?
10.
10?
I'll tell you something, your Wikipedia is shit.
I don't know what it's awful. He's falling apart. I knew about that, Natalie. Don't worry about that.
Oh, fuck off, Rob.
So you were 10. So your daughter is basically, would have already been in EastEnders 2 years.
Yeah.
And have they expressed any interest in child acting?
They both enjoy it. And Eliza, actually, my eldest, she just played Trunchbull in her school production.
Oh, wow.
She was brilliant. She's really good at it. So I wouldn't mind her doing it. But to be honest, it's all very well. But auditions come through on my phone and I'm like, that's too much time off school. And I just ignore it. So I've said yes, but I'm not sure it'll ever come to anything. So we'll have to see. But I do want her to go to school. I missed a lot of school.
Yeah, how did it work?
As much as I loved my... Well, I loved my job.
Yeah.
But from 10 to 13, the rules were 40 days off a year.
Mm. Yeah.
From 13 to 16, you could have 80 days off a year. And then 16 onward, it was your job. So I was kind of there doing really well, and I just carried it on, which is amazing. I'm very lucky. Yeah. I've had a brilliant life. But... I've missed out on a lot of learning,
which
I think I'll probably do at a later stage because I do love learning. So I want my kids to enjoy learning and go to school and get good grades, and I do want them to do that because I didn't.
Also, as well, you've got there's plenty of time in life for them to become actors, where you only get this time once, and I think it helps you develop as a person. I mean, it must be really difficult for you as well, like. Because with social media now for your kids, and I don't have that. Like, you were, like, so famous in this country, at a young age, and that must have been quite difficult because it's not, you know what the press is like, especially back then, you know, 20, 30 years ago, way more brutal. How did that make you a stronger person, or did you find it difficult? Has it helped you, like, give them advice and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I just think I've been very lucky. I've got a very thick skin, and I've grown up with a family that are so normal. Do you know what I mean? There was no, isn't it marvellous that you're on the telly? There was none of that at all, which for me, I just went to work and it's always just been my job. So I think going into it at 10 is actually better than getting a soap opera, say, at 17, because you kind of want it and you get the ego and you get, not saying everyone does, but do you know what I mean? Yeah. So for me, it was just, I grew up with it. It's like being recognised. People say everyone's like... You go out and what's it like? And I said, I don't remember not doing that.
Yeah, you've been famous longer than you've been alive.
So it's just, it's what it
not
is,
not longer
than
you've been alive, but longer than not famous. Sorry. Yeah, I caught myself in my own cryptic.
Rob, fucking hell, you did my Wikipedia's bad. You've got some really dodgy facts. You were Sonia 2 years before you were born, is that right?
So philosophical.
Yeah, just like that. I'll felt really deep then. It's just like you've been famous longer than you've been not famous. Is what I was trying to say, not alive.
Yeah.
And does that, when you take your kids out in public, does it, that must be quite, because I'd say soap people get a lot more, like, they get a different type of attention to people like me and Rob. I think they get a weird type of attention because, and you're not going to believe this, there's some people that struggle to separate the character from the actor. I'm not one of them myself.
I'm not one of them myself.
He just struggles to separate the trumpet from the saxophone. That's all he struggles
with. Come on now. I was panicking. Genuinely, I'm going to admit it. Yeah. We've interviewed. I don't get starstruck by when we interviewed Robbie Williams. I didn't really give a shit. This is the most starstruck I've been.
He's panicking.
I'm panicking because
you're
going
to have to get me on the last leg, Josh, aren't you?
Oh yes, please. I would love to have you on the last leg.
Yeah. No. So going back to what you said, when you go out, you're absolutely right because you're in people's living rooms. Four times a week or whenever, and they've grown up with you. They treat you like a family member.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky because Sonia's a nurse. She's never killed anyone. She's the nice one.
Everyone loves Sonia, yeah.
So they're like, all right, Sonia, and they come over and they just talk to you. And it was when my kids were little, they didn't really notice. But Eliza now at 12, she's like, and I'm like, please don't be rude because it's part of my job, Eliza. And she's like, no, I'm not happy with it. I'm really not. I just want to, you know. Can they just not leave you alone? And she gets kind of...
Yeah, they get protective, don't they? Minds are a bit like
totally.
That.
Totally.
I get it. And I hate it. You must get it as well. But the one thing two things I hate. People taking a picture of you with not asking you.
Yeah, that's awful.
I call it out. I call it out immediately. I'm like, hello? You know, and they shit themselves. I'm like... Yeah. Don't send a picture of me.
Especially, I now, just if they're doing it, I ignore it if it's just me, but if it's with the kids, I have to say something because I've got photos of my children there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one is when you're eating and they just come up to you at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, can I finish my plate of food before you come up? Oh, are you stupid?
The thing is, because you've got your as a parent, you're like, these are the rules, but you're funny, right? You are naturally, even when you said then, what are you stupid? I couldn't help laughing. I couldn't. Yeah. I struggled to see you as an authority figure, Natalie.
Oh, I can see it.
I do make them laugh, but I think if you're with me every day, I'm a bit annoying. Listen, with Eliza, Eliza's very much like me, so we clash.
Yeah.
When we argue and stuff, she gives as good as she... I say to her, you're going to be a barrister. You've got to be a barrister. Please be a barrister. Because she'll tell me that is a mug and I'll believe her by the end of it.
Yeah. So there'll be a pint glass. Natalie's holding up a glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a pint glass. And
she was pointing at me.
Within 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm really sorry. It is a mug, a red mug.
Yeah.
She's unbelievably persuasive.
And do they get on? Because there's this, what, 6-year gap?
Yeah, 6, nearly 7. They do. They get on a lot more, I think. Probably about 18 months ago, there was a real clash where Eliza wanted to be on her own and her hormones started flowing and all of that. But Eliza's kind of through all that now and she's like a little lady already at 12. And she loves her sister. They spend quite a lot of time apart now.
Yeah.
But when they are together, and I try and get them together, I'm like, come on, let's play a board game. Let's play Guess Who. We're big board gamers. You know, I like to be together. Eliza's now just getting to that sad stage of wanting to be in her bedroom all the time, and I'm like knocking on the door.
Oh my!
Come down, or I do Alexa, talk to kids' room. Get downstairs. I've not seen you for 2 hours.
Do you have a situation now where you're thinking, right? Soon, I'm making decisions on her going out, her going like, well. Not, I mean, she's 12, but like alcohol or like parties and all that kind of stuff is not a million miles away.
It's not a million miles away. So she sent me a voice note yesterday. So she's just started coming out of school because now she has the mobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, she can contact myself or my nanny or Mark or whatever. And my little one is swimming on a Wednesday night. So she goes swimming from 5:30 till 6. Eliza comes out of school at 5. So yesterday she was like, I'd like to pop into town with a couple of friends. And then, you know, Laura can pick me up on the way home. And I was like, I don't know. And I was like, no, that's fair. She's bored stiff at a swimming pool, baking hot.
Yeah, waiting.
She's had a day at school. That's fine. I get a voice note. Hi, Mummy, just to let you know, I had some more Latin prep, finishing it off. And we're just having a Starbucks. And I was just like, she's like a 30-year-old.
Oh,
but she's a good girl. She's a good girl. Although when she got home, I'd done spaghetti and meatballs last night. And trust me, my kids eat well. And she ate like half of her favourite dinner. I was like, you sure you just had a drink? I bet she smashed down a couple of cakes. She didn't eat all her dinner when she got in.
Yeah, she's done you there. She's absolutely done you. What did you think of Sid Owen's single Good Thing Going in the year 2000?
What a random link that was. Girl, you got a good thing going.
It's a good song, wasn't it?
It's a cracking song, isn't it?
It's so good. Oh, I couldn't believe it's the year 2000. Sorry, I just thought, God, Sid Owen wrote a single. I wonder what she thought about that. Do you remember
23 years ago, is that? That's mad.
Basically, if you could, like, ask, you know, questions to Natalie that's not revolving all around her castmates from the past 20 years.
I've done a load of...
So, Natalie, you recently had your 40th on the 13th of May. You was born in 1983. How did you celebrate that? How was that for you?
We're the same age. We're only a month apart, Natalie.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think I look older than you, younger than you? What do you reckon?
Well, it's difficult because No, I think you look younger than me, but also I've known you since you were 10. I've known you since you were playing the clarinet on screen at the age of 10. Do you know what I mean? So
trumpet.
I'm joking, Rob! Rob, I'm too excited.
No, you know, sometimes... I'll tell you what it's like. You know when you're in the pub with two people and you're having a nice time, but you want to talk to the other one a little bit more and everyone keeps interrupting? That's all. That's That's all it is.
Oh, superb.
No, it is strange, isn't it? Rob, I had a fantastic birthday. I've got a local. We live in a village. And I've got a local. We hired the local. And what was amazing, I'll tell you what Mark did. And this is my fiance, my other half. It was incredible. So a couple of weeks before we went to, I had sorted my party out. We went to Killarney and we had a couple of nights in Killarney.
Where's Killarney? In Ireland?
In Ireland. And we just wanted to, we've never been away for more than one night on our own without the children.
Yeah.
So we went away and it's all the fiddly diddly pubs, right? Amazing. You know, you're out, a proper lovely weekend together. Right. So there was this lady, beautiful girl with a guitar in this pub. Her voice, she was doing cranberry, all stuff that I love, like cranberries and all Alanis. And I was nearly crying. I said, she is unbelievable. Anyway, cut a long story short, 3 weeks later, I walk into my local and she sat in my local with a guitar.
Oh, my word.
Mark had got in contact with her, flown her over.
Oh, my God, Mark.
And like, how good is that?
Marry me, Mark. That is unbelievable.
I want to be married to Mark. And I don't even like Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, such a better bet than Martin Fowler. Such a good guy.
Oh, well, that's really raised the stakes, isn't it? Going back to the Starbucks thing, if she's buying stuff, has she got pocket money or how is she operating at 12 and she's getting to school on a bus or what's going on for that independence?
No, I'll drop her to school, Mark will drop her to school, or I have childcare that drops her.
And is that because you're in a village? Is that there's not much transport links kind of thing?
There's not a lot of transport about. And also, there is a school bus, but don't want her on it really. I feel like there's a lot that goes on those buses. You know what I mean? Things get organised, a lot gets talked about. Mm. I think that's where the dodgy stuff can either happen or be organised. I don't want to.
Do you know what? When I used to come home from school, the walk home or the bus was where it all kicked off after school. And if you're getting picked up, you do swerve a bit of that.
Yeah, you swerve.
That's
when
all the fighting was, or the things that were going on, or you end up getting caught up in trouble. I remember walking home from school, and a naughty boy had stole a bottle of wine from, like, there was a PTA meeting that night. So he was like, I can hit the bottle of wine. So he was like, drunk a bit of wine. In the woods, it was horrible, just like, because it was like exciting. Yeah. I got put on report.
Of course.
And I got
put
on report.
Yeah,
for a week. Like, to, you know, after each lesson, the teacher has to write how you did and stuff like that. And you have to go and see it. But I got put on report for a week. And I remember telling my mum, I was so ashamed.
Was it difficult? Like, did you not have that chance to rebel yourself because you were kind of working and in the public eye and stuff like that?
I'll tell you something. I think I did quite well with it. If I'm honest, I think I rebelled as much as I needed to and got away with it. So I did quite well.
No social media back then, was there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it now. The kids now at work are amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like 14, 15, 16. All they talk about is meditation, yoga, and going to the gym.
Is it?
It's incredible. It's incredible.
That like generation. Out with Rob.
It's amazing. Honestly, they're absolutely brilliant.
Oh,
they're so professional.
Them.
They're so great. Oh, they weren't like us. We were in China White till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well,
on a Wednesday.
My wife was friends with Gemma Bissix, who was in EastEnders.
Oh, lovely Gemma, who
played Claire. Yeah, at the same time as you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was
kind
of the other.
That would have been a great first question, Josh, to win Natalie over.
Sorry.
That's great. Though, but I'm enjoying, though, rebuilding the rapport, though. It's good.
Rebuilding the rapport,
good.
She's
good. We're back as a three now. This is great.
Yeah. Do you think Nick Cotton killed anyone? No.
No,
sorry.
Right. Oh, dear. Here's a question for you, because do you ever now, when we're at sort of our age, is there any conversation in your house about another one?
Do you know what? My son was being very cute this morning, and the thought entered my head, and then I thought, fuck, no. There is occasional chat about another one. Mm. I think, because we're, as you say, the age thing's interesting, because you're basically then 60 when your children are grown up. So that's a long way up. Off. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I know Al Pacino's just had a kid at 83.
I think we're all young enough to have another kid.
I know, yeah.
I think 60's fine.
Rob,
also,
I'm
they're
just
grown
trying
up by 10.
Rob, I'm working on my excuses, Rob.
But really, it's only the first 5 years are really mental.
Yeah,
and then
enough.
Once they're in school, it gets easier and easier. And there are mental challenges with phones, and they've upset me and all that. That'll always be a thing. But the actual tiring graft of it all is a sort of four or five-year window.
I think if I could have an 18-month-old now...
That slept.
That slept. I love that.
Mm.
But the thought of Rose being pregnant for 9 months with two kids is... Mm. That's going to be really tough for
her.
What
if it's twins? I'd fucking love it if it was twins. It'd be so good for the podcast. Please.
Natalie's face.
Please. Can you just think of the content? We would go up another level,
so
I think.
Terrible.
We'd go worldwide. If you had twins, your life would be a fucking mess, and I would want to hear about it 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd tune in now, but I would be tuning in much more.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what you'd be hearing about, Rob. My life as a divorced man.
Great.
We haven't got enough bedrooms either. Why am I coming out with excuses? This chat.
No,
do you have the chat though? Do you have the chat, Natalie?
The only reason I was asking, because obviously this is a kid podcast.
But do you have that chat then?
About a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, I was talking about it a lot, thinking about it a lot. Thank fuck I didn't do that. Seriously, I feel now I'm out, like you said, I'm out of the woods. I can have a lay-in.
Yeah.
My kids get up, they'll get a bowl of cereal, come and say hello. You know what I mean? It's different now. And then I've got nephew. So my niece and nephew, they're in their 30s. So they've just had children. So I've got great nieces and nephews that I babysit for, that I look after.
Yeah.
Like a nan, but we're all very, very, very close family. So I've got all of that. And they're fucking hard work.
I thought you were going to say they're lovely and cute and I get it from them, but
no. No, they're wonderful. They're wonderful.
But it is tough.
But when they go home, I'm like, oh, it is hard work. They're brilliant. But I just think I could not do that age anymore. Well, I couldn't do it.
My brother's got like a 3-month-old and she's brilliant and she sleeps and she's the cutest, most well-behaved baby I've ever seen. But even when they're sleeping and well-behaved, they are constantly just holding the thing that's making noise, and you can see them. They're like, oh, like, you know, it's just so unrelenting.
Absolutely, no break.
But and I think, like, you know, we've spoken about it before when we see little cute babies and stuff. But it's like what you're doing is you're chasing for that hit of cute little young that sort of. But it's the same way as people that still live in their uni town and go out to uni nights out. You're trying to long for a moment in time that's passed. Yeah. And if you constantly keep looking backwards, you'll never appreciate what's happening now.
You've got to appreciate now. And I think I have had those times. I'm sure I'll have them again. But, you know, when you feel your heart hurts where they're growing up, you're absolutely heartbroken. The pain of I've had that pain where I think, I can't believe that they're not little anymore, and the way they're talking and the stages have gone, that heartbreak. But now, I don't know what's happened. I think, but I've just gone now, nah, forget all that. Let's enjoy all the different stages now.
Yeah.
Going shopping with Eliza. Doing, you know, nice, fantastic. Me and Joni now, you can get on a train. You don't need anything.
Yes.
You can just go out. Go and get lunch somewhere. They're not fussy. You know, it's a great.
And you're not like neglecting that by going, hold on a second while you hold a baby and you can't really communicate with your daughter and properly, you know, and it does happen. Like yesterday we're coming back from my daughter did a recorder thingy and Lou took my other daughter in another car and I was just with her. And because they're thick as thieves, there's two of them, 2 year age gap. They just yabber on at each other all the time.
Yeah.
I just sat with my oldest chatting. I was like, oh, I don't realise, we don't actually just talk to each other that much. Normally it's like, we're all as a four, or it's me with them two, and it's sort of like them two versus me, and they're going, yada, 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 but she was just chatting, and I was like, this is so lovely. And I think
you can
keep looking, you can either be anxious about what they're going to be like when they're older, or go, oh, I wish I'd just had a little cute one again, but you miss out on the
You're missing
the
on what you've got now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very conscious of having the time with them apart.
Yeah, I think that's quite important, you know.
So Eliza, because she's grown up, we will do something together. You know, if I'm working really, really hard. I mean, even with the 6 and 12 of an evening, I still find stressful. I still feel guilty because I'm with the 6-year-old doing the homework, doing the reading, bath time or what have you. She still wants a story. We still, you know, do a story, what have you. And then I'm like, oh, and she's very, very alive, you know. She'll get out a space book at 8:15 and she's like, well, then the sun goes, and I'm like, it's too late, I can't do this now. I can't talk, her brain is full on.
Yeah.
But by the time she goes to sleep, usually about 8:30, and I'm like, oh, not seen Eliza yet. Yeah. And she needs to go to bed at 9:30.
Yeah.
So
you've
still got that, even with that gap.
Yeah, and it's so difficult to balance. If you chuck a third one in the mix.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just want to make the most of my two children that I've got. Do you know what I mean? I don't see why I should make it more difficult.
And we've only got two hands to cross the road with.
Exactly. And the car, you have to get a different car.
The fucking car. I'd have to buy a new car. I'd have to buy a new car and house. I don't need that.
That's a big bit of pressure on top of a baby.
Yeah, 9 months. Well, I suppose. Oh, God. Too much stress.
Josh, what's Patsy Palmer like?
What's Patsy Palmer like?
She's lovely. She lives in Malibu. She's great.
She lives in Malibu?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Have I said this before, Rob? That my agent got sent a character description of a new EastEnders character saying that they thought I'd be perfect for it, EastEnders said. And it was, the guy was a bookish nerd who wore cardigans.
Who got it? John Richardson?
I don't know. This was about 6 months.
Cardigans.
Yeah, this was about 6 months ago.
No, you're lying. This is a setup.
I swear on my life.
You would now be playing my boyfriend.
No! No!
What's his name?
Why didn't I do it?
Brilliant. That would have been so funny. You're far too busy. You couldn't do EastEnders.
That's what I said. I said I'd have loved to have done it, but I'm too busy.
But you should come in. Maybe you could come in as his brother or something, just for an episode.
Yes, please. A word in.
That'll be amazing.
I'm sure he's doing I'm not sure. I know he's doing a much better. Oh, my God. I'd have been your boyfriend. That is so weird.
I reckon that was the part, the way you described it, I would imagine.
About 6 months ago, would that have been when it would have been?
Johnny Freeman.
That's it.
There he is. He's got
Johnny
a cardigan.
Johnny does it now.
Let's be very clear. I wasn't offered the role. I was asked. Let's just be very clear on that.
No. Let's face it, though. I'm probably going to end up in Landlord of the Queen Vic, surely, at some point in my career.
Oh, Rob.
It feels like somewhere that seems a safe haven for me. In the Shane Ritchie, Danny Dyer footsteps.
Yeah. What did you think when they changed the map to include the Millennium Dome? Did you think that was needed?
I think so, yeah. I think it's good to keep it up to date, don't you?
Yeah. Have you enjoyed my line of questioning? Because do you know what? You thought I wasn't a fan of EastEnders. I think I've proved you otherwise.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. I'm very, very pleased that I can say now Whittaker's a fan of the show. When I go to work, they're all going to be very pleased.
And he was nearly your boyfriend.
Oh, God.
Nearly my boyfriend.
Gutted.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would have been too much. You're too popular, you're too busy, trust me. You couldn't do it at the moment.
That's what I was going to ask. We've been trying to get you on here for ages, and your schedule is really busy, and it comes in quite late, isn't it? So when do you know what you're doing? How do you plan your parenting and your childcare around that?
Well, I'm just extremely lucky that I kiss my childminder's feet. I'm so sorry. I mean, it's the worst job in the world because then she's got to organise her life. I get it on a Thursday evening. For next week.
So for Monday morning?
For Monday morning, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I'll just sit, work it all out, see if Mark's got any time off, see what he's doing. He's super busy at the moment. Go for everything.
And then
work
it out like that. Oh.
I mean, I've looked at the calendar this morning and I'm like, oh my God, she's got an inset day on Monday. There was an inset day before it's summer holidays. What's going on?
What's happening? We've just had every bank holiday off for May. We don't need another one.
I've never known my kids to have so many days off. Seriously.
Of course, they're Thursday nights. And how many days are you in normally?
Again, completely dependent. I've got kind of a little provisional schedule, but it gives you no times and it is very, it can
easily
change.
Could it be zero just because you're not in the
scene? Could be zero. Could be 1 day, 2 days. It could be 6 days.
Can I ask one more question? We always end on this. We always end on this.
Yeah.
Which do you think was the better moment? When Frank hit Tiffany in the car?
Yeah.
Or when Kat shouted out, yes, I am. To Zoe saying, you're not my mum.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go for the Slater moment.
Yeah, that's the bigger.
I'm going for Kat.
Yeah.
You ain't my mother.
Yes, I
am. Oh, my God, I get goosebumps thinking about that.
It was very good.
What a moment. Yeah.
Josh, would you like...
That's not what we always end on, is it?
No, do you want to ask the actual question?
Yes. If you could say one thing that your partner does as a parent that is blows your mind, shows you that, you know, that is parenting I could never do, that's incredible, what would that be? And one thing that annoys them, annoys you, you know this, you've listened
I
to
know
podcasts.
This. I know this. I do listen. I'm not making it up. The thing that I love about Mark, which he's amazing at, is his ability to remain calm. Mm-hmm. Because my tolerance levels aren't great and he's fantastic. He remains calm in all situations. When I want to smash the place up, you know, go mad, he's brilliant and he's very, very calm in any situation, and he makes, yeah, the house a very lovely place.
Nice.
But the downside of that is he's so laid back. We can all be going out somewhere. We're all ready in the car and then he's still sort of strolling around getting bits and pieces so we can be late for things. Mm. And I don't do late.
No.
I don't like being late.
Yes.
Okay,
fair enough. So that's it.
That's it. That's pretty good, actually. Pretty happy, functional family, Natalie.
We are. We really are. I'm very lucky, like I said.
Well, good luck with the teenage years, but I think you've got a handle on it.
Thanks very much. I'll come back in a couple of years and tell you how it's going.
Please do. Please. It's been a long wait to make this happen, but genuinely...
We'll email you on a Thursday night so we know what you're doing next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers, Natalie. That was brilliant. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
See ya.
I thought I played that cool, Rob.
Do you know what? I felt like you had a patchy opening, but I think you really clawed it back towards the end.
I just loved the glory period of EastEnders, Rob, and I couldn't get over it.
It was a great period.
I'm more interested in it than parenting. I can't... Sue me.
Yeah, the cat's later, You Ain't My Mother, was the greatest thing I've ever seen on TV.
Oh, my God. So good.
And
so
she gave
good.
Birth on TV, didn't she? Natalie.
Sonia, yeah. Of course. Sonia. Oh, we should have asked her about that. Get her back.
Get back. Yeah, we did a parenting podcast. We didn't talk about giving birth on camera. Well, she didn't actually give birth, though. It was just acting.
No, but I'd be interested in that.
We can say, what we should have asked was, looking back on your performance of giving birth, once you actually gave birth, what did you do right and wrong?
Have you got a number, Michael?
We'll get it next time. Don't you worry. Right.
Thank you, Natalie. We love you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.